It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. Good morning, I'm Bob Powell. President Donald Trump held a roundtable discussion Thursday in White Sulphur Springs that was originally billed to highlight the impact of last year's federal tax reform legislation. But at various points, Trump veered off course to address issues such as immigration, trade, energy policy, and the race for U.S. Senator Joe Manchin's seat. Dave Mistich brings us this report.
Before hearing from West Virginians about their family savings from a recent tax reform bill, Trump focused heavily on immigration issues, including his call for National Guard assets to be deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border. He attacked Manchin on the issue.
And we have very weak laws because of the Democrats. And Joe. I mean, Joe Manchin is just, he's really not helped us on this stuff.
According to the Migration Policy Institute, West Virginia's unauthorized immigrant population is estimated at 6,000 residents. Those in the crowd cheered each time Trump mentioned plans to build a wall along the southern border of the United States.
Reasons we're being very strong with the National Guard and with the wall, and we're gonna get it stopped.
Finishing his opening remarks, Trump noted that he had gone off script and tossed a piece of paper into the air. He highlighted a theme that would run through the rest of the event.
Now I'm reading off the first paragraph. I said, this is boring. Come on, we have to tell it like it is, Ed. We have to get Republicans in office.
The president, in an audience of a few hundred, then heard from a dozen local business owners and residents about recent tax reform legislation that they say has positively impacted their employees and families. Many in the group said the tax overhaul has helped them to the tune of thousands of dollars in savings. In closing, Trump thanked Governor Jim Justice and Senator Shelley Moore Capito before directly acknowledging that Congressman Evan Jenkins and State Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, who were flanking the president at the table, are both vying for the Republican nomination to unseat Manchin in November.
And Jim, I want to thank you. And Shelley, I want to thank you. And Patrick and Evan, good luck. I don't know. You too. You too. Good luck.
Thank you, Mr. President.
That's going to be a – should we do a little test?
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it.
Who's voting for Patrick? Who's voting for Evan?
This is his congressional district.
I don't know. Yes, yeah, your district.
Your
okay.
Statewide.
That was fairly close. Hey, thanks, everybody. We love you all. We'll be back. Thank you very
Manchin,
much.
Manchin, who faces his own primary challenger and fellow Democrat Paula Jean Swearengin, attended a memorial for the 29 men who lost their lives in the Upper Big Branch disaster 8 years ago. In a statement about the tax reform discussion, Manchin called the event, quote, political posturing, and said West Virginians failed to get answers on health care, Social Security, minors' pensions, and why some aspects of the tax reform plan aren't permanent. The primary election for open races for both parties is slated for May 8th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in White Sulphur Springs.
On this week's edition of Inside Appalachia, host Jessica Lilly explores how our reliance on coal and other extractive industries has affected our region's economy. To better understand how communities out west are coping with some of these issues, she spoke with economy reporter from Colorado, Kate Schimmel. In this excerpt of the interview, Schimmel talks about how former coal towns out west are looking to reinvent themselves.
I don't see recreation or lifestyle or service jobs getting up to the same level that coal jobs did in terms of wage. I think there may be some affordability questions, like housing may come down to match that. But the reality is recreation dollars are getting spread around. And more small towns like yours, like mine, are competing for people's sort of disposable income, right? And I talked to an economist about whether that can continue to grow. And his take was, yes. Yes, there is more growth to happen, right? Like people can build out more recreation, more tourism, and attract more people to their town. But at some point, there's a limit. And whether you can turn sort of tourism and recreation, people passing through, right, into permanent residence is not clear. And that's what most towns want. They want people to come through and stay, right? They don't want to keep losing young people, losing people with kids, families. They want people to come and live here. And that's a much harder thing to do. So it might be possible to have more restaurants where people could have server jobs. The question of whether your young people will actually want to do that and will stay here and raise their families is a whole other question.
What kind of expectations do people have for the future? You mentioned that, you know, a lot of people are leaving, and we're certainly seeing that here as people are deciding to move away. I mean, do they see a future in staying? Are people staying and trying to create new things?
Yeah, they are. And it depends on your town, but I think in a lot of towns, you do have somewhat of a stabilization of people moving back to that town and trying to build something. A reporter I worked with did some research and found that more towns than I expected certainly are actually growing or attracting young people or at least holding steady. And they're usually doing that through a few different avenues. One is university or small college, state school or community college is attracting young people. And then some of those people stay after. I think the others are that sort of lifestyle side of things, right? So there's recreation and tourism, getting people to come through your town and spend money there and then leave once they're done. There's also the sort of side effect of that, that town can be a really fun place to live. There are trails or restaurants or whatever that are attractive to young people. And in a few towns in the West, that has actually turned into especially young families coming and staying because it's a good place to raise their kids or to live. They can live relatively cheaply compared to our urban areas and still have a really great quality of
mm-hmm. Anything else that they're looking at doing or trying to do to grow their economies?
One of the examples I found most fascinating was Anaconda, Montana, is actually trying. They had a really big mine and manufacturing infrastructure that closed down, and they have these giant heaps of slag, which are the waste, and they're actually trying to use that mining waste to do things like paving or manufacturing. So they're actually trying to sort of stick to their manufacturing and mining past and turn that into a viable economy to provide jobs. That's happening in a few different places. You know, not everywhere is leaving natural resource dependent economy for something else. Sometimes they're trying to turn it into something different, or they're trying to sustain it at a lower level. That's particularly true with logging out here. It's maybe less true with coal mining. But trying to log enough to provide enough jobs to keep enough people in town that town at least doesn't disappear.
Is there anything else that you could share that you found interesting and striking as a native to the region and being able to report on this and seeing your community and people move away and people also stay and invest in their community to try and find a new economy?
Yeah, I'll give you a resident's answer, not a reporter's answer, which is that when people decide to live somewhere, I think it's so important that they decide to take on everything about that place, right? And invest in helping that place be a really good community, a really effective community, whatever that looks like for your town. And I've been so struck by how different that can be from town to town. You know, some towns have these incredible communities where people show up to town meetings, to town council, they run for local positions, they volunteer, and they can build such a strong economy through that, like through that cohesion. And then in other communities where they once made a lot of money, right? Some former coal communities really struggling to figure out what to do next because they don't have that sort of social infrastructure, that community sense that we all need to invest in making sure that this town survives and that it's a place we want to live. I wish there were a better lesson other than the importance of investing in your community, but certainly that's one of the things I've seen as a resident and I suppose as a reporter too.
Kate, thanks again for giving us some insights into what communities out west are doing to try to move beyond extractive industries I know that states out west aren't quite as dependent on coal as we are here in West Virginia still, and the coal seams out your way still probably have many years' worth of mining left in them. So it's not an identical situation, but I think it's interesting to learn from communities with a similar situation. And I really appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been fascinating to hear what you guys are working on as well.
You can hear a longer version of this conversation between Kate Schimmel and Jessica Lilly on this week's edition of Inside Appalachia. And you can hear more stories about what communities here in Appalachia are facing as they try to find a new way to develop their economies. Listen Sunday morning at 7 and again Sunday evening at 6 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Our Mountain Stage Song of the Week is Forget About It from Allison Krauss and Union Station's 2005 performance on Mountain Stage.
Forget about it. I'm admitting I was wrong and I just take what's mine and broken right out the door. Forget about it. I'll split and I'll be gone and you'll have memories you'll find hard to ignore. After all, see you sometime, maybe when I will recall how it drove me crazier. Forget about it. When forever's over, I won't remember how much I loved you anymore. Forget about it. Put me out of your head now that you're free and easy out there. When you're lying in bed just wishing I was there to lay you down. 'Cause after all, see you sometime, maybe when you will recall how it drove you crazier. Forget about chance to meet somewhere, don't think it's 'cause I'm trying to reconcile. 'Cause after all, see you sometime, baby, when you will recall how it drove you crazier. Forget about
Again, that was Allison Krauss in Union Station's 2005 performance of Forget About It. You can hear more where that came from Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the help of Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Bob Powell, sitting in for Teresa Wills this morning.